This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen. We are here with RotoWire, and we are excited to be here talking to you the next hour. Got a lot of football talk, a lot of training camp injuries to hit. And, you know, we need to turn injuries off. We never do. And this time of year, you see a bunch of them come down the pike. Ian Harditz is going to join us in the next segment to talk a little bit about some of his early rankings, some of his reaction to the early preseason in the training camp news. We're going to do Rate That Prop today. Got some baseball and football props. And then we're going to finish with our best bets. As always, thank you for watching us. If you're watching us live, if you want to download the Prop Points podcast, you can do so Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Nick, we got the clarification on the Saints rookie wide receiver Jordan Tyson. He injured his hamstring last week. It's pretty bad news. 2 months we're looking at here. He battled hamstring injuries in college, so this is not his first go around with this. We were kind of bracing for bad news. I didn't expect it to be this bad, though.
Yeah, not ideal. Not ideal, Jeff, especially for a player who had, I think, fairly significant injury concerns coming out of college, right? I think that was kind of the big red flag. You wondered if he would fall a bit in the first round. The Saints were willing to take that risk and bring him in anyway. And, you know, it was specifically hamstring injuries that plagued him in college. He was dealing with that even after the draft. They're saying this is separate from the injury that had sidelined him earlier in the calendar year. But either way, I mean, we haven't even played an NFL game yet, and you're already kind of falling back into that injury pattern that was a part of the prospect profile. So if we take him out for, what, at least the first four games of the season, Saints are still debating whether or not they'll actually put him on IR. But I think that's likely at this point, given the timetable. I mean, this leaves Chris Olave, Jeff, as very, very clearly the Saints' number one wide receiver. It might be the biggest gap any team has between wide receiver one and the rest of that pass catching room. It's a Saints team that doesn't have a lot of depth. You know, we're looking at Devon Bailey, Bryce Lance, Barry and Brown. Those are the guys next up right now on the depth chart. And, you know, given that, and given that the Saints have some expectations this season, I think they rightfully believe they can win the NFC South. I wonder if they're looking into trading, right? Do you call the Patriots about Kayshawn Boutte? Do you call the Bills about Keon Coleman? Could you pry someone like Cedric Tillman away from the Cleveland Browns? Maybe you call the Broncos. They have a bunch of depth at wide receiver. If I'm the Saints, I don't know if I could comfortably go into the season with so little depth behind Chris Olave.
No, I agree. We talked yesterday about Tyler Shuck in his total passing yards. At DraftKings, it still sits at 34.49.5. At FanDuel, it's down to 34.00.5. Does this make you want to draft Tyler Shuck a little less? Maybe downgrade him a spot or two in your QB rankings?
I think so. I think so. I mean, I wouldn't say my interest in Tyler Shuck as a late round quarterback was 100% tied to Jordan Tyson, but it was certainly a part of the case, right? You know, another weapon for a guy who really only had one of those last season. And that's with all due respect to Juwan Johnson, who I think is still one of the more underrated tight end options. But you know, the running game around him, I think, should be better. You have a really good pass catching back, two of them actually, in Travis Etienne and Alvin Kamara. So I don't think the Saints offense completely falls apart, and we're not looking at a season ending injury, right? Hopefully this is just the first four or five games of the year. Jordan Tyson can hit the ground running, but again, you got to be concerned, you know, about the recurrence of these hamstring injuries for a guy who is still so young. My question to you, Jeff, and you and I were actually in a draft last night. Do you now push Chris Olave up the board a little bit? I think we already liked him and you could only push him so far, but the idea now of getting at least a month to begin the season as, you know, somebody who could be seeing double digit targets every single week, that's pretty appealing.
Yeah, I kind of go both ways on this one here, because I already viewed him as the number one. I was already viewing him as a guy we get early third round, you know, get in that range of wide receivers that I liked. How much more can he get because of this is the question. Like, does, you know, and yeah, someone is going to have to line up in Tyson's spot. It's not like they're going to play without the receiver. So I probably an extra target or two. I wouldn't think it's a big sea change difference for me. It makes me slightly more interested in Olave, but I was already interested. So I guess that's kind of the way I look at it there. Breece Hall yesterday was the injury of the day. Got hurt with a groin injury in the early practice. We held our breath on this one. We got, you know, they said it's a groin strain. They're not that concerned. Well, we got some more clarification, though. It's 2 to 3 weeks, which means he misses the rest of the preseason. They expect him to be ready for week one. I ask you this, Nick. I got Breece Hall on Sunday at 4.2 in a draft, right after Jeremiah Love, before we got the high ankle sprain clarification on him. Now that I already have Hall at 4.2, say Hall drops to like the end of the fifth round now. Are you buying the dip, or do you say you have enough exposure to a player? And, you know, we could talk Hall or any other player like that.
Yeah, I would be surprised if he falls that far. You know, if we're talking into like the late 50s, around pick 68, I think this news is optimistic enough that people, you know, won't move him down the board all that much. But the, you know, I think at first glance, I would say, yeah, you know, of course you're downgrading him, but it still doesn't make me like someone like Cam Scataboo anymore. You know, I'm pretty lukewarm on Kyren Williams this year. I'm very lukewarm on Travion Henderson. So I think it's one of those things where, yeah, you could move Breece Hall down, but are you really comfortable taking some of those backs who've been going behind him now ahead of him? I will say the one player who's been going behind Breece Hall, who I would now absolutely take over him and probably would have anyway before this injury, is Javonte Williams with the Dallas Cowboys. And we did see him go well ahead of ADP in the draft we did last night. There was a big run on running backs in the second and third rounds. That left me high and dry at the position. I have maybe one of the worst running back rooms I've ever put together in a draft in that league. So we're going to be up against it a bit, but Javonte Williams is somebody who, you know, we weren't even talking about as a potential featured back this time last year. And I'm buying in on a repeat of what we saw last season. I think that Cowboys offense is going to be one of the safer units to invest in this season.
Yeah. And all politics are local, and it's fun to, you know, we were talking about that draft last night. First of all, it was a 14 team league, which has obviously got one nuance there. We only start two receivers in that one too, and then a couple of flexes. So you're not required to have, you know, you're not required at all to have that third receiver, which means like there was a pretty, you know, extensive run, even in the end of the first round, beginning of the second round there on running backs there. Started with Christian McCaffrey at 1.8. I took James Cook at 1.9. We saw 8 running backs in a row then. That's when you kind of realize, oh, it's going to be pretty hot and heavy. I did wait until the fourth round to take my second running back in that one there. You and I both took running backs in that round, Montgomery and Achan, respectively there. It is interesting to see what that does to the room there. And, you know, the Breece Hall injury definitely is, it just takes one more guy out of the mix for us there. Swift, Henderson, Judkins were already gone at that point in time. Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough to try to time that out there. Got some more NFL training camp news, but first, quick note from our RotoWire. That's us. You want to bet smarter? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line, and that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy league, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now. Use promo code VEASAN at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. Keenan Allen signed with the Colts. Your reaction, Nick?
My reaction, Jeff, is that I don't like the position that the Colts are in when you have to bring in a 34-year-old Keenan Allen to bolster your wide receiver room just a couple of weeks before the NFL season starts. I don't think this necessarily bodes well for Alec Pierce, who, of course, underwent surgery back in April. Very unlikely that we see him at all during the rest of the preseason. The Colts are saying they're hoping he could play in the opener, but I read this as Indy bringing in some insurance in case Alec Pierce isn't quite ready to go. And maybe Indy also signaling we're not all that comfortable with our depth beyond Alec Pierce and beyond Josh Downs. I mean, again, we're talking about a guy who turned 34 in April. He'll be easily the oldest wide receiver in the NFL this season with Adam Thielen officially stepping away. With that said, though, Jeff, he played all 17 games last year for the Chargers, drew 122 targets, 81 catches, 777 yards, and 4 touchdowns. So he was still productive. He led the NFL, actually, in third down conversion receptions. But overall, not a great sign. Not a great sign if you're the Colts, where you feel like you need to bring in someone like Keenan Allen at this point in his career. I would temper expectations significantly from a fantasy perspective. You know, I think if you get a couple splash weeks in best ball, yeah, maybe you use like a 20th round pick on Keenan Allen. But I went through and, you know, kind of ran the numbers on StatHead, Jeff, earlier today. I've talked about it all the time with these older receivers, but there's just such a small track record of players, especially when you get to like age 34, 35, I mean, you're talking like Jerry Rice, Larry Fitzgerald, Marvin Harrison. It's really just the all-timers who have still produced mm-hmm. at that point in their careers. So, you know, still a name, still somebody who, you know, could be looking at a Hall of Fame bid down the line, but not expecting a huge impact from Keenan Allen this season.
Yeah, I think my reaction is more it's going to how it affects others on the team. It makes me downgrade Tyler Warren maybe a half a round, but there's a pretty big gap between he and Tucker Kraft anyhow on average in most leagues. You know, tight end boosted leagues are a different animal there. But we got news on Kraft too. He's doing up to 11-11s, but they all said that they're going to be limiting Kraft too. So early in the season, he's going to be on a bit of a snap count. So, you know, I still have Warren as my tight end four, but maybe he loses a few third down targets because of this. Maybe Josh Downs misses out a little bit on this. I think that's the bigger impact on that. Quickly, I want to talk a little baseball before we get out of this first segment. Huge night for the two NL MVPs, candidates, the top ones. It's a two-horse race. Shohei Ohtani, homer twice. PCA, homer twice. He led off with a homer. He walked off with a homer. Got to 30-30 on that last walk-off homer, too.
Yeah, just brutal news. Brutal news if you're a Milwaukee Brewers fan. Last thing you want to see is a player like PCA having this kind of season. First player since 2010, by the way, to hit a leadoff and a walk-off homer in the same game. And Jeff, it wasn't that long ago that we were kind of joking on this show about, you know, Shohei Ohtani versus the field. That was being offered at DraftKings. Yeah. And now heading into tonight, PCA is your betting favorite for the NL MVP, minus 115 at DraftKings. Ohtani sitting minus 105. We'll talk some more baseball later in the show, but we got our friend Ian Hardins stopping by on the Progressive Guest Line when we come back. Some fantasy football talk with him on the other side. Keep it here. You're watching Prop Points on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson hanging out with you. And we are heading out to the Progressive Guest Line to bring in our good friend Ian Harditz, one of our lead fantasy football analysts over at rotowire.com. Make sure you're following him at iHarditz. Make sure you are subscribed. You got the notifications on for his YouTube channel, Fantasy Football with Ian Harditz, putting out a ton of content each and every week. Ian, great to have you back. Let's dive right in. We got a lot that we want to hit with you over the next 10 minutes or so. So we were talking about some of the big injury news across the NFL, of which there is many right now, unfortunately. Specifically, Jordan Tyson, he's going to miss roughly 2 months with the hamstring injury. And Jeff and I were kind of going back and forth as far as what this means now for the Saints offense. Are you upgrading Chris Olave? Does it change how you feel about Juwan Johnson, Travis Etienne, even Tyler Shuck when you look at the first couple months of the season?
Definitely for Olave and Juwan Johnson, if you really want to get sick out here, guys, I will say Devon Vele may be worthy of a late round dart in, you know, your deep 20 round sort of fantasy leagues. But for me, Chris Olave really does become more someone I'm willing to click at that round 2-3 turn. I do have him as a wide receiver 12, right there with Malik Nabers, right there with Devontae Smith and those sorts of guys. So feeling good about it and feeling really good, guys, about having a pick inside of the 101 to 105 range. If I could pick anyone I want, I would just get the 101. You get a Jahmyr Gibbs, and then you have a chance to get maybe two of those wide receivers or a falling value in that range. So gotta love Olave. He's someone who I wasn't down on, but you did look at last year's soft schedule. Rashid Shaheed was out of the picture. I did wonder if the target and just the gaps could be a little wider in the ADP streets than maybe what we would see on the field between him and Jordan Tyson. But again, now kind of removing that out of the picture for the first half, definitely a big upgrade. And then with Juwan Johnson, I mean, third in receiving yards among all tight ends last year, had a good season. And again, you remove some of his top target competition. Tough to not have him, you know, at least tight end 15, tight end 16. I will say Juwan, though, he's just the perfect insurance now for anyone drafting George Kittle or Tucker Kraft, because we could have a situation where they're being ramped up. They're coming back from their injuries. If you do find yourself with a Kittle or Tucker Kraft, go get Juwan Johnson in the late rounds.
Ian, we were also talking a little Breece Hall earlier. Between he and Jeremiah Love, those are two guys that are kind of in the same space. Went back-to-back in a draft I did in the NFFC on Sunday, where it was 4.1 and 4.2 respectively. Do you buy the dip on these guys after this sort of injury if you already have some exposure to them? What are you doing with Love, and what are you doing with Breece Hall?
Yeah, I was fading both these guys earlier, and I thought it was a freaking good idea, but now everyone's getting bailed out by these injuries. But now I think, you know, late round four makes sense, but I do tend to subscribe to that kind of adage in the fantasy football world, where it's don't chase injuries, they're going to be finding you soon enough. So in that range, man, just so many wide receivers I do like. Ladd McConkey, Zay Flowers, even Emeka Buka, dealing with his own toe issue, but should be okay there for week one. Colson Loveland, also a target for me in that range, where I would just rather not get the already injured running back on an offense that could rank 32nd in scoring, and it wouldn't exactly be surprising us. So again, great real life players. I don't think anyone disputes that, but you know, I didn't think Jonathan Taylor went from being an incredible running back to a very bad one in the second half of last year. What happened is offense all of a sudden was not good at all. So we got to keep that in mind with these running backs. And if I can help it, man, I don't want to be using a top four round pick on someone who very likely will be standing next to a rookie quarterback in the December when our fantasy football playoffs are on the line.
Talk with Ian Harditz from rotowire.com, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Ian, you have a video up on the YouTube channel right now breaking down a handful of key veterans in fantasy football. So I want to throw a couple of those names your way. Devontae Adams is a really, really interesting one. He will be the second oldest receiver now in the NFL, with Keenan Allen officially back with the Indianapolis Colts. But Devontae is one of those guys you worry about, you know, missing maybe a handful of games. He's avoided the major injuries, but still was plenty effective last season. I think the question is, do they use him as kind of this goal line back once again, where so many of his touchdowns were coming inside the five, inside the 10-yard line? You know, do you see Matthew Stafford having that same kind of season in terms of touchdown volume? Because we know Devontae Adams is going to need that at this point in his career. So is he a target or a fade for you?
I'm okay with where he's going. Again, that video you're referencing is washed or not, trying to go through some of these older dudes or guys, you know, with major declines and trying to figure out, are they washed? Are they not? If they are, who benefits? And in Adams' case, I just feel like it's already baked into the price, man. We're talking about someone usually going outside the top 24 wide receivers, depending on where you're playing. And that weird sort of goal line wide receiver role he has, I think it would make sense if that, you know, just ages more gracefully with someone like Devontae Adams. You know, we're not expecting him to have to be beating younger cornerbacks 40 yards downfield because he's got that mind meld chemistry with Matthew Stafford. Are they going to regress to some extent because of how efficient they were scoring touchdowns last year? Yes, but Devontae Adams, man, even in 14 games, he had 10 more end zone targets than the next closest player. 28 end zone targets last year for Devontae Adams. That was the most in a single season I could find in the entire True Media database. So it is a situation where, you know, we're not looking at someone who caught 11 of 13 end zone targets for touchdowns. No way he does that again. The volume was so focused on him last year. There's no more wide receivers they added to actually be worrying about. Could we see a Terrence Ferguson or a Colby Parkinson be annoying inside the 10-yard line? I guess, but man, that whole tier of veteran UNC wide receivers, Terry McLaurin, Mike Evans, and also Devontae Adams, right now we're giving a little bit of mindfulness to Father Time and everything, and they're ranked lower. But by the time week one, week two comes along, man, we're going to be shooting them up the ranks in a hurry. And if the injury guys can chill out for once, could be feeling very good clicking Adams where he's going.
Let's cringe a little bit and talk a little Atlanta Falcons. Looked horrible in their first preseason game. Tua drops the first snap. We're going to be stuck with Tua to start probably in Penix later in the season, maybe. Terrible offensive line, I think, at least. Are you downgrading Drake London, Kyle Pitts, anything of that nature, kind of looking at what the whole scene is going on with Atlanta right now?
I haven't made a habit of clicking him in drafts. I still have London as a top 10 wide receiver because the other argument could be Tua looks so bad. Maybe we get Penix sooner rather than later. Is Penix great? No, but he also loves throwing the ball 20 freaking times per game to Drake London out there. So Kyle Pitts, again, in that mid-round, tight end range, I've been more of a Ricky Bobby first or last mindset position. So usually not clicking him, but I'm with you, man. It's a quarterback room that I think we can comfortably say is among the 5 worst, 10 worst, if you really want to be nice. And Kevin Stefanski and Tommy Rees, man, they're getting a lot of credit for feeding prime Nick Chubb a handful of years ago, man. So I know Cleveland hasn't exactly been blessing any coach with a great quarterback or anything, but it has been a while since we've seen Stefanski really elevate any offense. Was Zach Robinson necessarily doing that last year as well? No, but if we keep playing around with an offense that we all kind of believe to be bottom 10, at some point, if they do finish horribly as a bottom 3 unit, we shouldn't be all that surprised. So I'm with you on London and Pitts, not priorities for me. And that, again, just entire idea of the offense is why I've been team Gibbs over Bijan at the 101 this offseason as well.
And to go back to some of those older wide receivers, we're seeing DJ Moore and Mike Evans go in about the same zone, maybe a little bit more separation now than we were seeing, about a month ago when they were truly back-to-back at the NFFC. But if you had to draft one of those veteran receivers, DJ Moore or Mike Evans, who are you more comfortable with?
I would still lean Mike Evans. We've just seen this 49ers Brock Purdy-led passing attack be kind of the best ever. I mean, Brock Purdy, guys, in the Super Bowl era, number one QB with at least 500 attempts in yards per attempt and passer rating. So if you want to call him a system quarterback, you're wrong, but okay, it's like the greatest system of freaking NFL history. So not too bad, nothing to be ashamed of there. Now, obviously, with no Ricky Parasol, Mike Evans, man, just seems to kind of be in that similar situation as CMC, where it's so tough to envision him really crashing and burning, unless the injury gods do rear their ugly head. So I will say, same tier as DJ Moore. Moore's been someone that I was reluctant to really get on the bandwagon with. And no, I'm not completely changing my mind just because he took an uncovered crosser for 30 yards in the preseason. But he really is being set up well to be a number one for Josh Allen. And I do think, again, given that mid-range where we have guys like Bucky Irving, Bashaw Tutin, Jadarian Price, running backs that I have a lot of questions about and they haven't exactly solidified themselves as the leader, I do think Evans and DJ Moore going in that round five, round six range, man. Both guys now are, perfectly fine targets in my mind.
What rookie caught your eye the most in the first weekend of the preseason? Is there anybody that you moved up your ranks after watching this first round of games?
Yeah, KC Concepcion, which maybe we just call him Kevin. The KC stands for Kevin Concepcion, so it seems kind of weird that we're using that every single time, but this dude was lightning in a bottle, man. It's exactly the usage that we wanted to see in a bad offense because, no, we're not expecting anything under center. The Browns are likely going to be horrible. But seeing Todd Monken get him a reverse that he happened to take in for a touchdown because KC doesn't get tackled by cornerbacks. Love this dude's mentality. Also got him a pop pass. And then also just, trying to find ways to get the ball out wide. Almost housed a punt return as well. So he was, for me, my wide receiver 4 going into the draft. But I did think he was in the same tier as Tate Tyson and Lemon. So great to see again that usage because if we are going to be dealing with a bad offense, we're going to want some design touches. And it was great to see Monken really leaning into that like we thought he might, given his history with Zay Flowers.
Excellent stuff as always from our friend Ian Harditz, one of our lead fantasy football analysts over at rotowire.com. Again, make sure you're following him over on Twitter on X at iHarditz, and make sure you are subscribed to Fantasy Football with Ian Harditz over on YouTube. Again, you can find all of his work for us over at rotowire.com. Throw in that code VSIN, get yourself 15% off. We're going to play a game of Rate That Prop. When we come back, do some Major League Baseball player props. We'll do some NFL futures as well. You're watching Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. We'll be right back.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Prop Points here on VSiN. Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you from rotowire.com. We welcome in those listening along on Sirius XM channel 158. And of course, those streaming with us on YouTube TV and the wonderful VSiN Watch app. It is now time for one of our favorite segments that we do here on Prop Points that is called Rate That Prop.
The number is posted. The verdict is next.
These guys are 11.
Let's rate that prop.
for another round of Rate That Prop, where you guessed it, we rate player props. Jeff, I will throw you three Major League Baseball props for the Tuesday slate. You will rate each of those props on a scale of 1 to 5. Fives have been pretty elusive on this show, so we'll see what we could get today. The higher the number, the more likely you are to place that bet. So we'll start in Major League Baseball, and then we'll move over to some NFL player futures. Jeff, we got Zach Wheeler on the hill tonight going up against the Marlins. We're looking at the strikeout prop for Wheeler, over 7.5 Ks, plus 109 at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Please rate that prop.
Well, because you said please, I will. I'm rating it a 2. And this is interesting because we're getting plus money. And for a stretch, Wheeler was a huge source of strikeouts there in July. But the last four starts, he hasn't hit that number, 5, 6, 3, and 6 respectively. Only the first start after the All-Star break where he struck out 9 Dodgers has he hit this prop. And, my timeline, every time Wheeler starts, I've seen people kind of up in arms about it there because Wheeler often gets off to a good start with the strikeouts there and then just peters out. That's what happened in his last start against the Cardinals. He's going through a little bit of a tough stretch. 7.63 ERA, 1.76 whip, 20-7K to walk over his last 15 and a third innings. That's over his last four starts there. Conveniently leaving out the Dodgers start there after the All-Star break there. So if you want to expand to that, it's still a 6 ERA over that stretch. The Marlins are kind of a mid-tier strikeout team, 21.8%, 13th in MLB. But I'm kind of worried about Wheeler and his usage lately. The fact is he's gone 5, 5 and a third, 2 because of a rainout, and 3 innings against the Marlins the last time he faced the Marlins. I just worry about him going deep into the game. If he goes 6 innings, he probably gets to this prop. I'm going to give it a 2. I'm not going to play it. I'm not going to bet the under either. I'm a little squirrely that way. I'm just not betting the over on this one here.
Okay. All right, 2 out of 5 to start things off. We'll see if we can do better than that with these other two baseball props. How about a hitting prop for you, Jeff? Max Muncy and the Dodgers continue their series out in Colorado. Big offensive night for LA last night. A couple homers from Shohei Ohtani. We're looking at the over 0.5 RBI for Max Muncy. So 1+ ribbies for him, minus 106 is your price. Rate that prop.
Now we're cooking a little bit here because, I like Max Muncy and Coors Field against a mediocre right-hander, which is Ryan Feltner in this particular case. 2-for-10 with 6 walks in his career against him. So no career RBIs against Feltner, but it's been pitched around a little bit. Muncy's on fire, 63 RBI in the season. That includes some time on the IL. And Feltner over his last 30, 8.37 ERA, 2.03 whip. Seems like a pretty good spot here for Max Muncy. We're going to give this one a 4.
Let's move over to another pitching prop. We have Zebby Matthews in the Minnesota Twins, home for the Atlanta Braves. A modest strikeout prop for Matthews. The number is 4.5, Jeff. So the over 4.5 Ks, slightly into plus money territory at plus 102. Are you betting this? Please rate that prop.
All right. Zebby Matthews was kind of a sabermetric darling, kind of the ball knowers in fantasy loved him at the in this year, going into this year. And then he kind of has petered out. It hasn't been a great year for Zebby Matthews. Strikeouts are all over the place with him. His last 5 starts, 4, 4, 10, 1, and 4 strikeouts respectively. So kind of all over the map. There is some rain in the forecast on this one here. That's enough to kind of cool my interest a little bit there, because obviously a rain delay is your enemy in this one here. How many times do you see a starter not come back after any sort of decent sort of wait as a rain delay? So if that forecast gets a little even more gloomy, then I'd probably steer away from it. Braves in the last 14 have struck out a decent amount, 23.5%. That's 10th in baseball. I'm going to give it a solid 3.
We'll talk to Baker Mayfield, some Brock Bowers, some Travis Achane in just a moment. But folks, VSiN is on the clock for the second annual Pro Football Futures Draft. 13 VSiN hosts and guests face off in a fantasy football style snake draft hosted by the great Dustin Sweetelson. And every pick doubles as a handicapping breakdown you could use this season. Win totals, division winners, player props, stat leaders, awards, you name it. Last year's competitors are all back for round 2, joined by 3 newcomers stepping into the futures draft room for the first time, including former wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson, comedian and sports commentator Nick Bakay, as well as the guru himself, John Hansen. Don't just watch the futures draft, profit from it. Tune in Thursday, August 20th. That is 2 days from now at 5 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, Nick, your turn to be on the seat here. Baker Mayfield, over 25 and a half regular season passing TDs plus 110 in a contract year. Rate that prop.
Look, we love bounce back Baker Mayfield. We love contract year Baker Mayfield. And honestly, Jeff, if I've given out Baker at 55 to 1 as a dark horse MVP candidate, I think he's probably going to need to get to at least 26 touchdowns to make that happen. So I'm going to give this one a 4 out of 5. Again, finished at 26 a year ago. 12 of those, though, came in the first 6 games of the season, slowed down significantly, as did the entire Bucs offense in the second half. In the final 8 games of the year, never had more than 2 touchdown passes in a single game, had only 1 touchdown in 6 of those 8. And I'm a little surprised that Baker was one of only 8 quarterbacks to get to 26 passing touchdowns last year. It was a bit of a down year scoring-wise across the board, but I'm confident that Tampa Bay can get this offense back on the rails. I still like the weapons quite a bit. I think Kenneth Gainwell really helps him out as another pass-catching option out of the backfield. I don't think the loss of Mike Evans is going to matter all that much at this point in his career. And importantly, Jeff, when you're looking at these player futures, Baker Mayfield has not missed a game in 3 seasons with the Buccaneers. Can he average roughly 1.5 touchdown passes per game this season? I think he can.
All right. Let's move on to your guy, maybe your former guy, but your guy last night in the SiriusXM Host Leagues draft, Travis Etienne Jr., now with the New Orleans Saints. He's had some negative steam in training camp so far. The prop on him is over 5.5 regular season rushing TDs. It's at plus 120. Rate that prop.
Yeah, well, based on how that draft went last night, Jeff, I'm going to need Travis Etienne to have like 15 rushing touchdowns, I think, if I'm going to have any chance. So this one is a little bit tougher for me. I did settle on a 4. It's probably closer to like a 3.7 for me, but we round up on rate that prop. He had 7 rushing touchdowns last year with Jacksonville, so went over this number. But he goes into a situation where, you know, the Saints, I don't think we talk about it enough, just how bad they were as a running team. They had 9 rushing touchdowns as a team last season, and Tyler Shuck was the leader with 3 of those. I will remind you, Tyler Shuck started only half of the season. Saints only had 45 red zone trips a year ago. They were dead last in red zone touchdown rate. With that said, though, I think they've made improvements on the offensive line. I think Etienne is a huge upgrade in terms of the running backs they were cycling through last season. I know Alvin Kamara is there. I know he'll have his packages. That doesn't really scare me all that much. And when you look at it, Jeff, 33 players got to at least 6 rushing touchdowns last season. So it's not that high of a bar to clear. I think if Etienne stays relatively healthy, he could get there.
Etienne versus Breece Hall right now. Now that we know about Breece Hall's injury.
Etienne for me. Don't love either of those guys, but I think knowing what we know now, it's got to be Etienne.
I think you're right about that too. If I'm in the same position where I need a running back in the 4th round, I go that way, or I go for David Montgomery perhaps as well. Brock Bowers got my first share of him last night in a tight end boosted league at pick 16 in a 14 team league. So I was actually kind of excited to get that. 7.5 regular season TDs plus 130 over at DraftKings. Nick, rate that prop, please.
Well, since we're talking about the Raiders, Jeff, I did see a good note from their camp earlier today. Quay Walker had an interception during joint practices with the Houston Texans, spiked the ball. It hit Woody Marks. He was flagged for taunting. He got booed by the crowd in Houston and then flipped off the crowd. So if you're wondering how the Quay Walker experience is going so far, things are going well. And I think Packers fans are nodding along. So Brock Bowers, 7.5 receiving touchdowns, feels like a low bar to clear, right? For a guy who has maybe as much talent as anybody at the position, but you know, he had 7 receiving touchdowns a year ago, did that in 12 games, only had 5 in that all-time rookie season where he played all 17 games. I'm going to give this one a 3, Jeff. I think he gets there, but I would not be surprised if this one gets a little bit dicey, if it takes him until very late in the season. I find myself to be just a little bit lower than market on the Raiders, which is saying a lot because there's not a huge Raiders drumbeat right now. But I just want to see it first. You know, they're one of those teams that went out, made all these additions. They have a new coach, and on paper, things look better. I need to see it. I'm not taking Ashton Jeanty with the 7th overall pick in a fantasy draft. I'm still a little bit skeptical of most of the pieces in this offense. So, look, I know a lot of the fantasy community thinks we could be set up for an all-time season for Brock Bowers. I get the argument. I would love to see it happen. Kirk Cousins is your starting quarterback to begin the year. I am nonplussed by that situation. So we got to stop at a 3 out of 5 for Brock Bowers. We're going to give you Jeff Erickson's full Major League Baseball betting card when we come back. Keep it locked here on VSiN. You're watching Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson back with you. It's Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Quick NFL update. We've been running through all these training camp, preseason injuries, and it appears we may have another on the offensive line for the LA Chargers. Their new starting center, Tyler Biadasz, carted out of practice just a few minutes ago. No updates quite yet on the situation, but looked like he got rolled up on somewhere in the lower body. So initially, not great news for a Chargers team that feels like it goes through this song and dance every single year on the offensive line. Jeff, we have ourselves a healthy Tuesday slate in Major League Baseball. Let's get some plays on the card, and let's start out in the American League East. A big series all of a sudden between the Yankees and the Orioles in Baltimore. We'll see Carlos Rodon taking on Shane Baz to start things off, and you have a Rodon prop for us.
Yeah, Carlos Rodon is coming back from the IL. He's only made 9 starts all season. Remember, his season started off because of the elbow problem, went back on the IL, made 58 pitches in his last rehab start, so he should be stretched out to about 70-75 today. Control, or lack thereof, is the issue here with Carlos Rodon. He has a 13.4% walk rate over the walk percentage on the season. It's even worse on the road, 14.8%. You know, good strikeout rates, but I'm going to focus on the walks here. I think he's only not walked at least 2 batters once in 9 starts. So we're going to continue that trend. You're paying a little bit of a minus price, minus 129 over at DraftKings, over 1.5 walks, Carlos Rodon.
Let's take a look at Tigers Pirates out in Pittsburgh. We have Pittsburgh as a minus 140 favorite on the money line. Total sitting at 8. Keiter Montero, Braxton Ashcraft on the hill. Jeff, you are going to a team total play.
I am indeed. First of all, quick news note. O'Neill Cruz is off the IL, off the 60-day IL. They activated him yesterday but didn't play him. Probably should start tonight for the Pirates. It's good to get another bat back in that lineup. They've had so many key injuries there. Still waiting to see if we're going to get Connor Griffin at all for the stretch run here. But the Tigers, since sneakily, they've been a really good hitting team over the last 30 days. This is why they're still alive in the wild card race. Over the last 30 days, a 120 WRC plus. They're one of the lower strikeout teams at 19.8%. Their team total is only at 3.5. I think this is a good park to hit in these days. I'm going to go Tigers over 3.5 on the team total, minus 115 over at DraftKings.
I'm going to give you a total play in Marlins Phillies in just a moment. But first, week 0 of college football is almost here. And with the NFL regular season right behind it, now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. You can join VSiN Pro today and get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides. Those are packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, at best bets from VSiN's top analysts. And that's just the start. You'll also get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe, VSIN.com/subscribe. So Marlins, Phillies out in Philadelphia. Phillies are massive favorites on the money line, Jeff. Minus 210 is the last number I saw. They got Zach Wheeler on the hill. Cade Gibson going to open things up. We expect Tyler Phillips to come on in bulk relief. You're looking at the total, Jeff. You're staying away from the money line. You're staying away from the run line. Total sitting at 8 tonight.
So we talked a little bit earlier in Rate That Prop about Zach Wheeler. Last 5 starts, 6.04 ERA. You know, he hasn't quite been the same dominant self. Meanwhile, with the Marlins, they've got an opener going ahead of Tyler Phillips. Phillips, as a starter, had a 4.95 ERA. He's faced the Phillies twice. The first time, he gave up 8 runs against them there. So I think this is a decent scoring environment here. And a total is only 8 in a ballpark that usually accentuates offense. Maybe some rain here. Warm weather otherwise, though. I think the ball will be pretty active. I think there'll be some good scoring in this game. I like the over 8, minus 115 over at FanDuel.
Cardinals and the Reds have split the first two games of this series. We'll see Kyle Leahy going up against Andrew Abbott, the lefty, tonight, 6:40 p.m. Eastern start. Cardinals slight favorites on the road money line. Total sitting 8.5 or 9, depending on where you look. So how are you breaking this one down, Jeff?
So I'm looking at fading the Reds offense yet again. It's really a frustrating offense to watch as a Reds fan. I've been seeing it ever since April, really. But in the last 30 days, 79 WRC plus, that's 27th in baseball, 27.4% K percentage. They split the doubleheader last night, rallied to get ahead of the Cardinals, to tie the Cardinals late and get the walk-off win in the extra innings. That's why the over kind of cashed in that one. It was set at 8.5. Go back to the well on this one here. I don't think they're going to score a lot against Kyle Leahy. Leahy hasn't allowed more than 2 runs in a start since June 17th. Over that stretch, 1.52 ERA, 0.99 whip. They'll need him to pitch well and get some innings here because they played that doubleheader yesterday. I am a little scared about this under just because the Reds bullpen, if they don't get it to Emilio Pagan, it could be trouble. But still, you're getting plus money at under 8.5 over at Hard Rock, plus 110. If you want to go to the 9, you get that at DraftKings at minus 121. I like the under either way.
Jeff, the Toronto Blue Jays have a minus 57 run differential on the year. They are somehow just a half game out of the final wild card spot in the American League. They've won 6 straight series heading into this one against the Tampa Bay Rays. Game is down in Tampa. Rays minus 129 favorites on the money line. Low total at 7.5. But you like the Blue Jays to get off to a hot start.
Yeah, I kind of think that Nick Martinez is pitching a little bit above his skis, 2.74 ERA, 12-3 record. Obviously, the strikeouts are pretty low with Martinez. They always have in his career. You're relying on that the BABIP to kind of hold true, kind of rely heavily on that defense. Meanwhile, the Jays are rolling out Jose Soriano, who can hang with Nick Martinez. So I like getting plus money on the money line here, plus 121 over at ScoreBet.
Arizona Diamondbacks making a trip up to Boston. So game is at Fenway. Red Sox minus 160 favorites on the money line. Total sitting 8 for Merrill Kelly taking on Ranger Suarez.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a bet against the Merrill Kelly bet. It's also let's talk about Ketel Marte real quick here. It's placed on the restricted list last night after no showing last night's game, despite arriving in town with the team. This news didn't come down until around game time. You and I were drafting at that time, and it was tough to kind of react. So people might be stuck with Marte in their active lineup for the first half of the week. He's now flying back to Arizona to get an MRI on his knee. So a lot of wild stuff going on there. So I don't know how the team's going to react. They got blown out last night. Sometimes momentum's a fraud, so I wouldn't really count on momentum being the big deal here. But Boston, I think, in Fenway is now the better team the way they've been playing, especially at Fenway. I'm going to take the Red Sox on the run line, -1.5, get him plus money, plus 130 over at Bet Rivers.
Anything for you, Jeff, in Padres Mets, where we see, a couple lefties, Robbie Ray and Zach Thorne going at it?
Yeah. First, I want to just a quick note to Carson Benj, firing out 2 guys in a row in the second inning and, AJ Ewing before that as well. Benj threw a ball 103 miles an hour, second fastest fielder throw for this season there. Just a C, just nailed Manny Machado, wasn't even close. They won those outfielders won that game for the Mets last night. I'm going to take the under on strikeouts for Zach Thornton going up against a Padres team that doesn't strike out a lot. It's a really low number at 3.5, and yet I still want to take the underside of it there. Best price I could find was even money over at Circa on that one.
Let's finish out with Mariners Brewers before we give you our best bets of the night. Bryce Miller on the hill for Seattle. Brewers are back home. Kyle Harrison on the hill. And we got some interesting news on Harrison. I believe it was late last night, Jeff. A very favorable scoring change impacting that ERA.
Yeah, if you recall, he was pitching against the Padres. They let him eat it. He had 8 earned runs. All of a sudden, he's down to 3 earned runs. Luis Renjifo dropped a ball on a double play that would have ended the inning, and they said can't assume the double play. Turns out that you could, and they reversed that decision, made those runs unearned. Goes from 347 to 299 without throwing a pitch. Pretty nice. Brewers might get Bryce Terang back tonight. Going up against Bryce Miller, and I thought, you know, something to note with Bryce Miller is, like every Mariners starters, the stark home road split, 4.47 ERA on the road, 2.09 at home, much lower strikeout rate on the road as well. We're going to take the over 7.5 -110 over at Hard Rock. Still a little concerned about Harrison's velocity, even though at that positive scoring change, he wasn't very good last time out, and there was, he was throwing a little lighter. So concerned about that. We'll take the over 7.5 -110.
What are we locking in for your best bet of the night?
It's going to be that Carlos Rodon walk prop over 1.5 walks -129 DK.
I'm going over to the Herbies market, Jeff. Kevin McGonigal,
yes.
2+ hits, plus runs, plus RBI, -123 over at DraftKings. Had a big night last night, 2 hits and a homer, 14 runs, 16 hits, 11 RBI in his last 15 games. Don't even mind a sprinkle on a McGonigal homer at 6-1. Braxton Ashcraft, 12 homers given up in his last 8 starts. That's going to wrap the Tuesday edition of Prop Points, but keep it locked here on VSiN. Money moves coming your way next.